Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a full-service podcast studio.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories and their business ventures.
So now we're going to talk to our two presenters about their companies. So we're going to start with Jenna Harrison, founder of The Uncommon Way. And please, Jenna, tell us all about your company, what you're doing, any stories of people you've helped. We'd love to hear it.
Oh, great. Well, this was actually the perfect segue into here, because really what I'm helping women do is create a business and a life that they really love. So they tend to come to me when they're feeling like something's just not landing for them in their business. It's just not dialed in. Maybe they're feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, right? They might be working a lot. I work with a lot of people that come to me and they are working these crazy hours. But also maybe they're just feeling unclear or unfulfilled, right? Something next is coming, but they don't quite know what it is. And so usually what's missing is that the business isn't really made for them. They haven't built it in a way where it's really highlighting their unique genius, their strengths, and also the strategies that really work for them as well. It's not really their business. A lot of times they're just doing what they think they have to do, and that often comes across in life as well. And so what we do is we really work to reverse engineer the business that they want, centered around their big why and their purpose and their unique strengths, and then make sure that they are having the life, you know, having the business in order to have the life as well. And so many of my clients are looking to grow their business in terms of wealth, but a lot of them are also looking to grow their lifestyle by working fewer hours. So I actually have a podcast called The 3-Day Work Week, and many of my clients do choose after our work together to start minimizing the hours they work and not to reduce their business growth, sometimes to accelerate their business growth by working less.
Wow, how does that happen?
That's a great plan.
Isn't it interesting? You'd be amazed. What happens is that we think that we don't want constraint. We think we want unlimited freedom. And in some ways, of course, that's wonderful. We do want to daydream. We do want to experiment. But what we don't realize is that our brains will keep going. We'll keep working on all different things. We'll maybe take more time that's needed. And when you constrain yourself, you're forced to answer questions that you wouldn't otherwise have to answer. And very often, that thing that you need to answer in order to work fewer hours is exactly what you needed to up-level in your business. Maybe it's a different system that has to come into play. Maybe it's a stronger offer. There are all different pieces, different levers in your business, and this constraint actually helps you make smarter decisions, work better, work smarter, not harder. It's a cliche, but there's something behind it. I'm thinking of one woman who came to me, and she was a freelancer. She had a multiple six-figure business, and she was working with nonprofits and really helping them visualize the data that was coming in so that they could present it to their founders. And while she loved that work and she thought it was so meaningful, she was really saying yes to everybody that would come to her. She was in a big growth phase in her business. Things were going really, really well. She was young. She was very excited by it all. But she was also getting very little sleep. She was very stressed all the time. She really had no life outside of the business. And it just felt unsustainable. It just felt like she couldn't continue. And looking back in hindsight, we can chart it now, how much brain fog she had, how much extra work she was doing because she wasn't clear-headed to what Jerry was saying earlier. And so we ended up really zoning in on her unique strengths and creating a really powerful offer around that, that she did sell at premium prices. She was no longer the artist in the room. She was actually the strategic thinker coming in to partner with these organizations. She ended up building out an agency, moving into a seven-figure business, and constraining herself to work 3 days a week.
That's going to be my goal.
I really think of the 3-day work week as a metaphor. Some people, yes, do want a 3-day work week, but others really just want to start working less. You know, they want to work a little smarter and want to start amplifying their life outside of the business as well. So it's really what it really comes down to is, what do you want, right? What's the life and the business that you want to design? And then how can we show that it's actually possible? You know, people are used to 40-hour weeks and we all work 40-hour weeks, but what if we were all used to 3-day weeks? What can we actually achieve with our minds by opening them to possibility?
Well, we're just trying to get away from the 7-day work week right now. But I mean, part of it for us is we love what we do. I mean, there's frustrations and there's problems to be solved all the time, but we do love what we do. So it doesn't always feel like work. I have a coach who's got a very similar approach to yours, and she's kind of life and business. And I'm telling you, the strides I have made in the last year since I've been working with her are completely unbelievable. And as Carl was saying, I would advise everybody who's serious about moving their life or business forward to get a coach that they click with, that they really like, that understands them. Because having that person in your corner, and they're not your cheerleader, right? Like, you're not always going to say, oh, yes, you're so wonderful. Like, people make jokes about ChatGPT. ChatGPT is like, oh, that's the best idea I've ever heard. But that's not you, right? Like, a coach doesn't just say everything you do is wonderful, right?
No, absolutely not. In fact, we're the ones, so often people come to us because everyone around them is saying yes, yes, yes. And they need someone that will actually cut through the BS and tell it like it is.
So how do you help your clients define success for them? What steps do you go through? Because I would think that that's really a first step in the process, is understanding what somebody defines as a successful life.
Well, we always start with the business first, because that's what they come to me first. And so we really make sure that that is centered around their why. Some people come to me and they know exactly what they want to contribute to the world. For instance, they know why they're doing it. For instance, I had a client who was a supermarket owner, and she believed that small supermarkets were really like the linchpin of small towns. And that if that small town didn't have a supermarket where people could just stroll into and talk and meet people, then it would start to decline. And so she had a really strong mission around saving small town America. But a lot of people don't come to me like that. They come to me feeling like they have a lot of potential. And these are sometimes very successful business owners already, but there's something that's unfulfilled within them, right? Something that's unrealized still. And so we start with the business, and I do have a process called Connect the Dots to really help them zero in on what that is that they want to build the business around, what that underlying why is. And then what happens is that as we start to do the mindset work to break down all the reasons why that wouldn't be possible, or why that might not be smart, or why they can't have it that way. For instance, a lot of people say, oh, but this is where the market is. It's over here. As opposed to, I create a market around me when I understand my people well enough and my offer speaks to that and is strong enough for them. And so once they start doing that mind work, they start realizing, wait a minute, if I could create this in my business, why don't I create that in my life? And what I've found, to answer your question directly, is that when people are well rested, when they are feeling fulfilled and they're not in scarcity about their business, like they do feel like income is coming in and they have that space, that there are always answers. Then your intuition can step up, right? Then you can really hear that small voice. It's just that so often we're so busy, we don't hear it, but it's there. My clients definitely are motivated by money. They don't want to be the starving artist or the unpaid, you know, social worker, but they tend to have come from well-paying jobs in corporate, and they realize that that wasn't fulfilling for them. So they don't want to sacrifice on the income, but they are no longer willing to sell their time for something that's not meaningful.
Carl, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I think that's right for Jenna. When she's talking about profit, money is extremely important. I mean, after all businesses must and pursue profit, and that's central. But I think that the pursuit for an entrepreneur is the same pursuit that Aristotle defined. Aristotle said that happiness is the meaning and purpose of life. And I think that the happiness is also the meaning and pursuit of profit, the pursuit of a business, the pursuit of an entrepreneur. So that resonates with me. Money's great. It's wonderful. We need it. We must pursue it. But there's more to it than profit. And I think if I had to choose between something that's going to make us satisfied, happy, fulfill us, or making money, if that was the choice, I would lead with the fulfillment, pursuing values, pursuing joy, and then make as much money at it as we possibly can, but lead first with what we love.
Yeah, and I think that really is conditioned into us in the old way of thinking, is that we did kind of have to sacrifice and do the right thing and not enjoy our job in order to create longstanding wealth for ourselves. But luckily that is switching, as we know, and it's an amazing thing that we do get to pursue something that we that lights us up, that's interesting to us, and we can make money.
Yeah, I think my coach has helped me kind of reframe that some, because I do know a lot about podcasting. I study it all the time, and I do deserve to get paid for sharing it with other people. And, you know, I would always just give it away for free. And I still, my meetup is free, but people are willing to pay me for my consulting services now, and I'm going to bill them the full amount. So in the past, I would have been reluctant to do that. It's kind of hard to get over that hump sometimes.
Absolutely.
Right?
Because so many things, especially for women that we're conditioned with, like always giving and never asking for anything in return. I mean, some of these are kind of universal archetypes that we see among both genders in movies and things, but especially for women, right? We are never asking anything for ourselves and just doing and doing and giving for others. And so that shift to entrepreneurism can, even though it, on a logical sense, we're not necessarily thinking that way subconsciously, there's still a lot floating around there.
There is. And especially if you've raised children, I mean, you have to be so selfless. And to carry that further into your life is probably not healthy for you as a woman. So Jenna Harrison, founder of The Uncommon Way, how do people find you?
Please come to my website, The Uncommon Way. I also am on social media everywhere at The Uncommon Way. And my podcast is called The 3-Day Work Week.
And do you work with people on Zoom, on phone, in person?
Mostly on Zoom. I do have some people that fly over here to Mallorca for VIP days. So that's always a possibility.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissikat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.